And the Saskatchewan Roughriders clinch a home playoff game with a 29-24 hard-fought victory over the Calgary Stampeders, who have dropped two in a row on home turf before a sold-out crowd at McMahon Stadium, many of them Saskatchewan Roughrider fans. Our hotline tonight brought to you, as always, by Great Plains Realty, proudly selling Saskatchewan's finest farms. Call Mike or Shelley Jen Austin at 306-481-5574. And our sponsor is A&W. Get the Beyond Meat Burger at all Regina, Davidson, and Moose Jaw locations. Oh, wait. This just in. I don't think the game is done yet. They had to add five more seconds for Calgary. Now, Rider fans are famous for saying the refs are against us. When we hear Andre Perule or we hear maybe Al Bradbury, we're cringing. But Kim Murphy and his crew tonight were absolutely atrocious. If they pulled back their referee garb, I'm sure we would have seen some sort of Calgary red and white underneath there. It was ridiculous. Those two pushing off penalties, maybe the Shaq one, you could have flagged him for pushing off, although that was kind of tic-tacky. But are you kidding me? Jordan Williams-Lambert, that was hand fighting at best by both guys. There's no way that was offensive pass interference. But here's the key, folks. Zach Collaros and his mates converted on 2 second and longs. After each of those plays, they got a first down, and those were two big plays in the football game. And yeah, I've been hard on the Riders offense. I'll be the first to say that's why we're paying that guy that type of money. And that's why, you know, that's what we need to do if we're going to be a playoff team and win in the playoffs. We need our offense to step forward. The defense did not score us any points. The offense comes up big, 29 big points, and Zach Collaros throws for 352 yards, the 20th time in his career he has thrown for over 300 yards in a game, and he looked very much, as Luke Mulliner said in the broadcast, very much like the 2014-2015 Zach Collaros, which I'm sure the Riders were looking forward to when they made that trade. They were hoping to get that guy and not the guy that was benched. And when you consider the last game Zach Collaros played in Calgary, his team got crushed 60-1, Ken Austin's Hamilton Tiger Cats. So he looked very good and looked like he's ready for the playoffs. But yeah, the Riders have a home playoff game, baby. That's outstanding. First home playoff game since the 2013 Grey Cup, when we remember Darian Durant, who's a part of our crew now, had that big fourth quarter when the Riders beat the BC Lions, went on to play Calgary in the West Final, and then, of course, went on to win the Grey Cup against the Hamilton Tiger Cats. We're taking your calls, 936-6262 in town. Toll-free out of town, 1-866-767-0620. We're still awaiting Mike McCullough to come in here. He's driving back from Moose Jaw. He was at the Whiskey and Wine event with the Regina alumni for the Big Brothers and Big Sisters out there in Moose Jaw. So we'll forgive him. Let's take a call before we go to our first break. We'll say hi to Trevor. Trevor and Humboldt, go ahead.
Hey, guys. I just want to say, yeah, Michael, you hit it on the head there. The reffing was absolutely atrocious tonight. You know, that Jordan Williams-Lambert call there, that was a joke. And you know what I thought was even worse than that was the one where the defender for us hit the guy in the backside there, and the ball had already went past the receiver.
Mm-hmm.
And I know, like, my buddy even texted me right at that time, and he said, why didn't they challenge that? Like Chris Jones should have probably challenged that, I think, because that was definitely not
when,
pass
what,
interference. That ball was way past.
What time of the game was that?
I think it was about, like, with 7 minutes left.
Yeah, forgive me because I was at a Harvard clients night at the stadium there, and we were busy kind of kibitzing. I was trying to keep an eye on the game. So my only thing would be you got to kind of, you know, it's strategy for the coaches holding on to those timeouts.
But at that time, I think that would have been a perfect time because they ended up scoring on that drive.
Yeah.
But it still worked out. We still won the game. But you know what? Zach Collaros was awesome tonight. Like,
yeah, he was.
He was poised, and boy, I tell you, is Jordan Williams-Lambert going to be a beast in
this
game?
Yeah, he's developing. You know, we said
he's going to be a beast.
We said they've got some good young receivers, but that's the problem. Sometimes youth brings a little inexperience and a little bit of problems that way. But yeah, he's looked good all season.
Oh yeah.
And if we can get Roosevelt back in the fold, and I'll tell you what, the one guy I loved last year, Trevor, I loved him, and when Mike comes in here, he'll echo my thoughts. Cameron Marshall, I'm glad to have him back on the roster. You know what?
Wow.
He's just a football player. He does everything right.
Absolutely. He was huge tonight. Like, yeah. he made some big first down runs for us. Like, he kept some drives alive for us. I tell you, he's a beast, too, back there. Like, plus, he's a good blocking back.
Yeah.
He's a very good blocking back. And you know what? I really think this league, though, needs to look at their refereeing. That was horrible tonight.
Well,
that was disgusting.
It's awful. And
that was disgusting.
Yeah, it was. You're right, Trevor. Thanks for listening all the time. Yeah. We appreciate it, man.
Hey, can I just throw a shout-out to my Uncle Warren there in Humboldt?
Go ahead. Yeah, give him say what you want.
Hey, Uncle Lauren. Hey, how's it going?
All right.
All right. Bye.
Take care, Trevor. Trevor and Uncle Lauren hooking up. Maybe you guys should go out for coffee instead of hooking up on the radio. We're going to take a break. Diane's waiting on hold. Numbers to call 936-6262 in town. Toll free out of town, 1-866-767-0620. The Saskatchewan Rough Riders 29 and the Calgary Stampeders 24. The Saskatchewan Rough Riders assured of at least one home playoff game, a second place show. But they still have an outside shot of hosting the West Final, which I don't want them to do, actually. We'll talk more about that in a moment. You're listening to Rough Rider Football on the Saskatchewan Rough Riders Radio Network. Rough Riders 29, Calgary 24. And yes, I just looked at the math. We haven't clinched a home playoff game yet. The BC Lions can win out. If they win out, including beating the Rough Riders, and beat us by, 4 points or something like that, they'll have second place and we will not get home field advantage. So basically the Riders got to beat BC next week and they'll have a home playoff game. So I stand corrected. I guess I got a little excited, all right? But hey, the Riders win here and it's a major step towards getting that momentum going down the backstretch. Let's put it that way, okay? There were 64 different Western playoff permutations coming into this weekend, so... the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, big victory tonight, 29-24. Let's head out on the Great Plains Realty Hotline. Say hi to Diana. Go ahead, Diana. Diana, are you there? Okay, Diana.
Yeah.
Turn your radio off, please. Anyway, let's go. Let's move on to the next caller. Let's go to Darren. Darren in Regina, go ahead.
Hi, guys. How are you doing tonight?
Good, Darren. Go ahead, bud.
Good. Yeah, I just wanted to comment on the offensive line. What a great job those guys did tonight. They did a great job of keeping Claros upright, and if they keep that up, I think we should be well in hand to get second and maybe first place.
I thought Josiah St. John didn't start so great. He looked a little overwhelmed at the start, but as the game went on, Josiah St. John did a pretty good job. And any time you run up 490 yards in the Calgary Stampeders in their home turf, that's a pretty good night's effort by the offense, especially the offensive line, who many people were calling in here last week and pounding on the Rough Riders for their offensive line, which I found ridiculous because going into last week's game, they had given up the fewest sacks in the CFL. So I think the offensive line has been one of our better parts of the team.
Yeah, it sure has, and St. John had the best game by far that he's had all season long, and he just had to get a few more reps in there to become a really bona fide offensive lineman.
Well, and you heard Luke Molitor say in our pregame show, nothing pushes a Canadian guy like a really good Canadian guy behind him, and because they got Dakota Shepley on the roster now, while he's on the practice roster here out of UBC, their first overall selection in the draft, Josiah St. John felt the heat a little bit, and of course you got Phillip Blake added here. Phillip Blake comes over from Montreal, has no real background with the Riders and passes St. John on the roster, but that's what you got to do. Next man up. Bladick goes down with the season-ending knee injury. You got to have a guy step up, and Josiah St. John, first overall selection. It's time for him to earn his money, and he did a pretty good job today for sure.
Yeah, I got one more comment, too. Yeah. I just want to just briefly touch on Charleston Hughes.
Yeah,
I just hope that people would stop throwing him under the bus. I know the guy made a mistake, but we've all made mistakes out there. And I think we all need to rally around Charleston at a time like this and get behind him and the team and overcome this, because this is just a distraction that we don't need. And the more the media carries it on and the more that people carry this on, the more it is a distraction to the team.
Well,
we need to rally around Charleston. Get behind them.
Yeah.
Let the authorities make the decision that they make, and we live with it.
Well, Darren, let me just stop you there, okay? I don't disagree with what you said, but what I have to laugh at, and maybe you didn't mean it this way, people get on the media's case. The media's job is to report what happened. The media didn't get behind the wheel, allegedly, and pass out behind the wheel of his car, and the media didn't avoid a breathalyzer. The media did nothing but report the story. Now, I'm happy the Rough Riders stepped forward at the last minute and decided decided to bench him and give him some discipline. I don't think he deserves to be cut. I think everybody makes a mistake, and he doesn't have a track record of this in terms of being arrested, so he deserves another chance, and he'll be here next week, and that's all good. And I think, you know, in the long run, it bodes well for the Rough Riders. 34-year-old, not the way he wanted to, but he gets arrested legs, and the Riders won the game today. So all's well that ends well. But let's not just, you know, and I'm not saying you, Darren, but I've heard this from a lot of guys. Well, you know, come on now. Let's give the guy a break. No, he allegedly got behind the wheel after having something to drink and ended up on an overpass, and he was passed out, and he avoided a breathalyzer. That's a him problem. That's not a media problem, and that's not the fans' problem. So now,
but Mike, we still haven't received all the facts on that yet either, Michael. This could have been a situation where he may have had someone else in the car with him, and he fell asleep while the other guy went to get gas for the vehicle or whatever. We don't know all the circumstances yet, so we should be quick not to judge anybody.
Well,
on that.
I'm not judging him. I'm saying it's good that they gave him a one game suspension. I think he apologized for it. He thinks he made a mistake, so that might lead you to believe that there is probably something to it. But hey, we'll let the authorities figure it out. Let the legal system run its course. And you're right. He's on our team. We gave him a one game suspension. He's playing next week. We get behind him for sure.
Yeah, Mike. I just wanted to say too, Mike. I wasn't referring to the media throwing Charleston under the bus. I was referring to the callers that were talking to the media on another radio station,
okay.
Not you guys.
Okay.
Well,
that's
so I
cool.
wanted to get that
That's
clear.
Cool. That's cool, Darren. And I pre, you know, yep. what? I'm not, I'm a lot of people. You're right. A lot of people, they don't like people to prosper, and they're jealous, and they like to pounce on somebody when they make a mistake. Everybody deserves a second chance. I totally agree with you. And maybe I'm a little touchy when it comes to that, because I hear them, you know, it's like anything with athletes and coaches. When they win, they want to talk to us forever. When they lose, we're the bad guys. Well, guess what? The media does their job every week. It's not my fault you miss a block or throw an interception or your team sucked. That's not my fault, so you shouldn't take it out on me as a media guy. So I'm kind of touchy that way, Darren, but yeah, I knew you didn't mean anything by it. Thanks for the call. I appreciate it, okay?
Yeah, just wanted to compliment you guys on your coverage. Your coverage is outstanding, second to none, and I think we have – probably the best coverage in Canada for the CFL team that we represent.
Well, we appreciate it. We got the best fans like you. Thanks for listening, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks, Mike.
Let's head back on the Great Plains Realty Hotline. Let's say hi to Jason in Regina. Go ahead, Jason.
How you doing tonight, guys?
Good, Jason. Go ahead, man.
Listen, I hate to burst your bubble, but we have not clinched
second place
yet.
I know. I already figured it out. I figured it out. Yeah, I got excited. I thought the Riders had to win one of two games, but that was before the BC Lions went on a run. I you know, going last week, we thought, well, they'll never beat Calgary, and they beat Calgary. Oh, they're going to have a tough game against Edmonton. They beat Edmonton. So right now, the BC Lions, we're the hottest team in the last 11 games, but the Lions are on our heels. So as good a win as this is going to be a colossal game here, a big, huge game in the West here next week. And, you know, the Riders last the chance to bang off any rust before the playoffs. So this is a really huge game. That's why, you know, arrested Charleston Hughes won't be a bad thing, I don't think, although it's not the way he wanted to be arrested. But you're right, Jason. I kind of was going back and looking, you know, going back to last week. Oh, they'll never beat Calgary. Oh, they'll never beat Edmonton. And the Lions are rolling right now.
Yeah. If BC beats us next week and then they win their final game, they would tie us at 22 points. So that leads the season series, and we lead the BC Lions by 3 points right now. So
yep.
Even if we lose, if it's by less than 3 points, then we clinch.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, thanks.
I didn't get a chance to see the game tonight because I've been working, so I don't really have any comments about the game itself. I'll be watching it later on my DVR. Just I'm glad we won. And I'm looking forward to seeing what I see when I watch the game later on.
Okay. Thanks for the call, Jason. You're going to enjoy the game. It's pretty good.
Have a good one, boys.
Take care, man. All right. So, yes, everybody's texting me that I'm wrong. I'm wrong. The BC Lions can still get second place. The Riders have to beat the BC. I guess I'm so excited. Since I've been here living and watching Rough Rider football, they had a home playoff game in 1988. Okay. They had a home playoff game in 2008. Did they have one in 2009? I don't think so. They had one in 2013. I'd have to ask Mike McCullough. But 88, 2008, was there another? There wasn't one in the 90s, I could tell you that. And did they have one? 2012, they were on the road. 2013, they had one here. 2014, they were on the road because they had the Darian injury and Kerry Joseph quarterback. And of course, we didn't have any in 15 and 16. We didn't have any home playoff games in the Barrett era. Yeah, it would have been 2008. Did we have one 2009? I'm trying to remember that run. 2009, if I'm not mistaken, we didn't have a home playoff game. Anyway, we haven't had that many home playoff games. So I'm excited. I jumped the gun. Rob Vanstone's texting me. Everybody's texting me. Win the damn game next week and we have a home playoff game and an outside chance at first place, which I don't want the Riders to get. You want the Riders to have a home playoff game as the West final? Never, 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 because they got a bye the last week of the regular season, and then they're going to have a bye in the first round and go in the second round. I know Jonesy's done it before with the Eskimos, but I don't like that recipe. I'd rather they just get second. And, yeah, Mike McCullough's calling me. If somebody can let Mike McCullough in, that'd be greatly appreciated. Thank you very much. Let's go back on the Great Plains Realty Hotline, and we'll say hi to Wayne in Victoria. Go ahead, Wayne.
Hi there. I was going to correct you, but your caller told me that. Your screener told
Wayne,
me that.
Wayne, anyway. Wayne, I'm really excited. Sorry. Like I said, I haven't seen too many home playoff games.
No, that's fine. I just wanted to, the main thing I wanted to do is congratulate a number of people, but Zach Claris, number one, the offensive line, number two, and basically Chris Jones, number three, because I don't think they've got enough respect lately. I mean, the fans have been down on Jones from day one, and Zach is the same thing. Like, they just spent too much money on the quarterback and all this kind of crap. I knew he would come to form eventually, and it takes time. You don't just come into a new team, and he's only played two-thirds of the season. Or one, you know what I mean? It takes a while to get, you know, and we lost some guys, eh?
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm a big fan, and I just – and by the way, your thing about what year we had a home playoff, 2009 we got first place.
7, 8, 9, and 13 we all had home
Did
playoffs.
We have a home playoff game in 09?
2007, 2008, 2009, 2013.
Okay, so 08 we had – 08
we – 08 we got crushed by BC because we had Bishop. 07 we beat Calgary in the Western semi. 09, we came first and hosted the Western Final.
That's what it was. That's what it was.
And then 13, we all know about 13. Yeah. Palsy, you know, I have to be here. I'm sorry I'm late because of the whiskey and wine, but, you know, the first 20 minutes, you're proclaiming we got a home playoff. You can't remember the days we or the years we had home playoffs. You're getting in fights with the fans, with the media.
There hasn't been.
I just apologize.
There hasn't been many home playoffs.
Without
games.
Me here, Ballsy just loses his mind.
Yeah. There hasn't been many home playoffs.
And first place doesn't happen very often, and I it might be a little tough this year because I can't see Calgary losing out the rest of the way. But who knows?
You know, thanks for the call, Wayne. We appreciate it, man. You know,
no problem.
You know how pathetic that is. I've been watching
first place,
I've been watching Rough Rider football. Like, I've been alive for 46 years. I've been watching since I'm about 5 years old. We have had a home playoff game in '88, which I froze my ass off at. We lost to BC. 2008 with Bishop.
2007,
2008, 2009, and 2013. We've had five home playoff games in 41 years. That's why I get excited. It's going to be the sixth time.
You didn't take your Ritalin today.
Well, and let's face it. Did you think the BC Lions were going to go on a run like they're going on?
No.
Edmonton Eskimos might miss the playoffs.
Yeah, I thought for sure Edmonton was going to win the other night. But no, BC's, I don't know. I still don't trust BC or Edmonton. You know, either one is just kind of.
I do. I think if Lule's healthy.
I do like them both.
And that defense is playing well. Like, BC Lions aren't going to be an easy out.
Like, no, by no means. But I mean, like, looking at the Riders, they're not afraid of anybody. That defense is not afraid of a single offense or quarterback in this league.
No, they were.
They are some bad dudes.
Well, they'll win if they play like this tonight. They'll win the Grey Cup because they got some offense. They got some.
I just
offense.
Wish there was someone last week who kept saying just relax about Caleros. I just can't remember who that handsome guy was. Yeah.
Well, that's good. Yeah. He had a great game. Congratulations. Let's go to Perry and I'm glad
he's so moody.
I'm glad he showed up. Let's go to Perry in Saskatoon. Go ahead, Perry, you're on the A&W Sports Cage Radio Roundtable.
Hi, my call was for reasons I'm correcting you, but I do have a couple other reasons to talk. And that is, I think the BC game is very important because we do want to finish second, of course. Mm-hmm. I also think that BC and Winnipeg right now seem in the last few weeks to be perhaps the best teams, and maybe a crossover, one or the other plays the other in the Grey Cup. Anything's possible right now. Saskatchewan looks good. They've had some stinkers of games like Winnipeg, but by and large, they seem to find a way to win. So I think they're a winning team.
Well,
offensive line tonight was impressive given the changes.
Yeah, they were good. Huh?
I was shocked that Calgary didn't bring more heat with all the changes and the guys in and out. Like it was
at the start, Josiah St. John looked like he was a little out of sorts, but he played well as the game went on, and they had 490 yards of offense.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, they had two new guys, Josiah and Blake, and Blue at a position. I thought Calgary would bring the heat more, but I feel like they don't trust their back end as much as they have in the past. Like it just. It seemed kind of vanilla defense for them for what they're used to and capable of. So,
yeah.
I don't know. It was odd.
And Labatt, the guard, helping his guard, sure looked impressive to me.
Yeah, Labatt could be the offensive MVP this year.
He really could. And I would be, he could be the old lineman of the year.
I think the BC game is important because they've got to make a statement. Otherwise, I'm concerned about the home playoff.
Well, you're not. Chris Jones said we can't win a Grey Cup. Not like we can have a Grey Cup, but he said it's better when you have at least one home playoff game, and they certainly should. Should strive for that. They're going to strive for that. It would be great if they had one for sure for the fans. You fans deserve a home playoff game. Perry, do you drive in from Saskatoon for the games?
Not this one. Go to about 3 or 4 games a year.
Yeah, I mean, guys like you that drive in for the games, you deserve to have a home playoff game. You spend a lot of money and time on the highway. Thanks for the call, Perry. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Let's go to Diana. She's going to try again. Diana in Regina, go ahead.
Hi there. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Great. Good. I want to say hats off to Kolaris today. He stepped up his game. He was throwing way better than he has in the past few games.
Mm-hmm.
Our defense didn't have to make picks to win the game, and our defense did very well, and hats off to the guys that were new in there. I just say it was a fantastic game.
Yeah, for sure. It was a great game. Thanks for the call, Diana. Okay, so let's get this straight here, McCullough.
What's up?
Claremont caught that overtime touchdown in 2010, didn't
2010,
he?
Yes.
So yep. We had a home playoff
that
game.
I forgot it. 7-8-9-10, yeah.
Did we have it in 7-8-9-10?
Yeah, geez, I forgot about that. Yeah, That was the
41-38.
I actually started that game. It was the 41-38 game.
Okay, so let's go through this.
Wow, then. How did I forget that
one? So 1988, they had a home playoff game against BC. 2007, who'd you guys play here?
Calgary. Western semi.
2008, you lost to BC here.
Western semi.
With Michael Bishop. Yeah. 2009.
Western final, Calgary, we won.
You won.
We won. Yeah.
We won. Western final, you won, right?
We won,
2010.
10, Western semi, BC.
BC, right. That was Claremont.
2013, Western semi, we won.
So we've had in 40.
See, I had so many, I just forget about a couple.
Yeah, let's not joke. Like that. You think about this. So 1, 2, 3, 4. We've had, since I've been watching Rider football, 41 years, legitimately.
Yeah, yeah.
We've had 6 home playoff games, and you were a part of
5.
7. Well, you're a part of 7, 8, yeah, 9, 10. You're a part of 5. Mike McCullough.
Hey, guys, it's a lucky rabbit's foot, you know?
You're the greatest guy in the world. Thanks for being on the radio show.
Hey, if you cling to some good players' coattails for long enough, you get considered pretty good yourself.
and do banquets 5 years after that.
Hey, I was at a charity function.
How was that tonight?
It was good. Food was really good. I got to see some old teammates and some other alumni. There's a bunch of guys there. It was good.
Fundraiser for the
Always great. Yeah, for the Boys and Girls Club there. Yeah, it was great.
Awesome. Okay, let's get back on the phones and the Great Plains Realty Hotline. Say hi to Blair and Estevan. Go ahead, Blair.
Hey guys, how's it going?
Good, man.
Hey, I just want to talk about the calls on Lambert and Evans here earlier in the game there.
Yeah.
Was there at all one push off on the Williams Lambert penalty at all?
No, it looked to me like it was just hand fighting down the field. I thought that was incidental contact.
That was late in the game.
Yeah.
That was weird. And they didn't have enough evidence to overturn it. But yeah, it seemed like the DB kind of got caught up on his own feet, and there was maybe a slight tug, but nothing that should have
been
called.
And if TSN's going to spend $40 million on the broadcast, can they get some extra cameras? The one on the review with Shaq Evans on the push-off, it was like the farthest angle. I was closer here at Harvard Studio than they were there.
Well, I'm wondering if the Toronto studio there has some better angles they don't show the public, but I mean, it's pretty bad. Like, and the NFL has cameras in the pylons and, referees like eye lens cameras, and we have one that's 82 feet up from someone's iPhone.
Can
we get Jim's iPhone for a second to see how the penalty
went? Mike McCullough's flip phone, please. that was terrible.
I think you bring my flip phone into every broadcast.
Yeah, I know. I do.
Frankly, it's becoming
annoying. I don't think, Blair, it's one of those things where Rider fans always like to bitch at the ref is against them, but I will say today it seemed like the refs were against the Riders. I thought there was a block in the back on that punt return for a touchdown on that.
Yeah, the you can you can have it on any of those. I mean, unless it's pretty blatant. You know, there's at least one every punt return. Yeah.
The one on Evans, that looked like it was Evans made the cut and stopped, and the guy didn't even like Evans didn't even touch him.
Yeah, well, he kind of pushed him on the shoulder pad, but I mean, come on, you're gonna call that late in the game? I don't think that
it was a bit much. Yeah. But you know what? The fact that we were able to win and basically have the lead for most, if not the entire game, in Calgary, and do that with the reffing as poor as it was, like that's
well, on those two plays, it's second and long, and like one of the plays that was awesome. It really was a Zach Collaros money play was when after it was second and long and he drills one over the middle to Williams
where he slide and caught it right in his bucket.
That was a great play.
And it was a perfect throw. Yeah. I mean,
great throw and catch.
Yeah, I mean, it's Collaros is he's looked really good. He looked legit tonight.
He did look legit tonight. Yeah, for sure. Anything else, Blair?
No, thanks, guys.
Appreciate the call. Okay, we're going to get the Cam, Ian, Jim, Jerry, and you. 936-6262 in town. Toll free out of town, 1-866-767-0620. The Riders improved to 11-6, and they don't have a home playoff game yet, but they're very close to having a home playoff game. So we've corrected that, and thank God Mike McConnell is here to save the show.
Thank God.
We'll be back with more of the A&W Sports Cage Radio Roundtable on the Rough Riders Radio Network. And wherever you're listening, thanks for tuning in to the A&W Sports Cage Radio Roundtable. I'm here with two-time Grey Cup champ Mike McCullough. It's ballsy. I want to thank you, wherever you're listening, for tuning in today as the Rough Riders win, including Don and Bev Wasilinik and their friends Joan and Doug Miller listening in Waikiki, Hawaii.
Is that Waldo's in-laws?
Yeah,
I was going to say.
And
yeah.
Paul Waldo's team.
Is Waldo in Hawaii too?
No, nope. Waldo is in Saskatoon for the Huskies 27-4 win over the Manitoba Bison.
Okay, so they clinch a spot.
Clinch a playoff spot, that's right, and they still have some work to do before they get second. They didn't do very well. They got crushed by Calgary 58-6.
Pickton, was he in? Or
no, he's out for the year. He's out for the year with his toe. So, but Josh Donnelly, the Lobolis Golden Sun quarterback, in his freshman first start, he threw for over 200 yards. That's a pretty good game. Yeah, he actually did, even though they lost.
So Pickton's done. His collegiate career is done.
Well, he's got one game left, but he's not going to play. I've heard he's done for the year. It is too bad. And that screw-up at the U of R is it's embarrassing, actually.
We've had some off-field
issues. All I can tell you, and there's some more coming to light that I'm digging up here
about
the U of R and goings on with the Rams that I'll get into next week. But I am working on that right now.
So Ballsy's got a few irons in the fire.
That's a conversation after the when we're on break. With hopefully the mics off.
And you went there.
Let's go, Cam. Vancouver Island on the Rough Riders Radio Network on the A&W Sports Cage Radio Roundtable. Go ahead, Cam.
Hey guys.
Hey Cam, go ahead.
Yeah, Mike. My heart goes out to those poor kids from the Rams. I'll tell you, I was wondering whether I was going to talk about it or not because I haven't called in for a few weeks. But you know what? Just egregious, and you know, I'm not trying to dump on the individual themselves, but or whoever the individual was. But you know, if there's any Rams listening tonight, just heart goes out to those guys. It's really, really unfortunate. So
it's embarrassment, actually, and you know, and it's an embarrassment for the, you know, it's pretty bad how it comes down. Like just I know it's a Rider broadcast, but a lot of these guys go on to the next level. We are not going to be able to compete with Americans at the, you know, if we're not going to treat our university sports a little bit, you know, we treat it just a bit better than participation sports. Yeah. Like this kid that came over here, which we can't name, he was sleeping in his car, working two jobs so that he could go to school in the States. That's why he didn't have enough credit hours. So they went with a compassionate appeal, and the U Sports said, sure, we'll give it to you going forward. But because you didn't bring this to light at the start of the year, we won't give you your wins back. It's an absolute disgrace. And all that was incompetence meeting cowardice, because they didn't want to have the other CanWest teams that the Rams beat lawyer up and have a big kerfuffle. So they just took the easy way out, and they won't return phone calls. It's an absolute joke. So somebody should be fired for this. Somebody somewhere should walk the plank.
As a former U of R alum.
Yeah.
You're heated right now.
It's a joke. I don't care if it's the Rams, the Huskies. Yeah. Those are 103 kids in that locker room.
A lot of these kids are never going to play another game of football.
No.
Most of them.
Noah Pickton, maybe he gets a rest and he could play. He's out for the year, so maybe he wouldn't play in the playoff game. Noah Pickton, the greatest collegiate passer, will never play another game, and he won't make the playoffs in his last year because somebody had a clerical error. Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, it is.
Anyways,
the other thing too is just to close that topic off. But you know, it's kind of political. But the Rams have to do a better job of acknowledging their alumni. My goodness, like I mean, the schools, you know, they have very few guys that go on to the next level, and for the Rams to have had the success they've had in the past. And, you know, I tell you, they don't market that enough. So I'm not playing that I'm bright. Administratively, that institution does not do enough. It's like they want to keep them small, and it's unfortunate.
Yeah.
And I'm not even a huge Rams guy,
yeah,
but I can tell you right now it's unfortunate.
Yeah,
so.
For sure. Anyways, let's talk about the Ryder game. What do you got there, Cam?
I was just going to say I thought the refs were overly involved tonight, and I did. I rarely talk. Ballsy, I've been calling in for a decade.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever mentioned it, but there was enough subtle stuff going on there tonight that I thought the fix was in. I really did. It's unfortunate. So,
mm-hmm.
As far as Dickinson goes, I think Dickinson coached tonight. And the other thing I wanted to say was, it's in closing, and not taking a shot, because a lot of people turned on Jones and you know, whatever. But that's the beauty, you know, standing by people. And the thing is that he's a four-time Grey Cup champion. And I've always been told that 100th percentile translates. It does. And, you know, he's a 100th percentile guy. He's a winner. And, you know, my recommendation here, you know, to people in the future, whether we win it at all or don't win it, is that you don't evaluate a house while it's being built, because there's a lot of stuff going on while the house is being built. We're not out of the woods yet, but, you know, Jones had a method to his madness. And a lot of his method is just madness. So, you know, he's been real good for us, and I hope people are starting to lighten up a little bit on him and understand that he seems to know what he's doing. So,
well, nobody that I've been around the Riders, and you've actually played, Mike, so maybe you have a different opinion. Maybe Shivers falls in this category, but nobody I've been around since covering this team has had his own plan and stuck to his own plan like this guy. Like, he doesn't care what I think. He doesn't care what Cam thinks.
No.
He doesn't care what his players think. He's doing it his way, and that's the way he's doing it.
Yeah, and I think that's what probably rubs a lot of people the wrong way. And, you know, it's working right now, but I think, you know, when it doesn't work is when people get upset. And
he's a polarizing figure.
He is. You're right. You know, and I mean, you're right. He is a winner, but at the same time, it's sometimes how you go about it that really makes people upset. And
mm-hmm.
But, you know, when you're winning, it kind of covers up everything. But if you start losing again, then it all comes to light. So
yeah.
It does.
And people wait to pounce on that. But the thing with him is, like, it's not like he came in and ripped, and he wasn't the guy who had to come in and rip apart a dynasty. Like, he took over a team. And we talked about it before, Ballsy, and you always said you get upset when people kind of talk about the players like commodities, and I don't want to do that, because there were some great core kids or great core guys involved. But at the end of the day, like, he had the stones to come in and say, like, your pet cows aren't getting it done here, and even if they're good guys and they're good enough to be on this roster, we're going to translate that into something else. So, you know, that whole pet cow mentality,
mm-hmm.
you see that in traditional losing programs, and we don't have to be there. We've got the guys that can bring in good players now. So I think it's important to acknowledge that he didn't rip apart a dynasty. He ripped apart a really rough program. So, you know, good on him.
Well, I will give you this. He's done a pretty good job. I mean, he's had some misses, but he's had a lot of hits too with bringing in guys, especially on the defensive side of the ball. And you're absolutely right about that. Cam, thanks for the call. We appreciate it, okay?
Yeah.
Let's head out on the Great Plains Realty Hotline again, saying hi to Ian in Saskatoon on the A&W Sports Cage Radio Roundtable. We're talking about a Ryder 5-point victory tonight in Calgary. Go ahead, Ian.
Hey, you know, I think you've had enough, Mike, so I'm not going to correct you, but I will correct Mike McCullough.
Uh-oh.
I was the handsome guy last weekend.
You were maybe second in command.
Okay. Anyways,
yeah.
I got to take back my call. Last week I called in and I said, this is the least confident I've ever been in a 10-6.
Yeah. I remember that call. I remember
oh,
that call.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I'm impressed. You know, I feel sorry for the fans that drove to Winnipeg.
But you know what, Ian, though? He's reflective on what this league is. It's a week-to-week league.
Oh, totally.
It really is a week-to-week league. You know, it's funny, Ian, because, I mean, Mike is one of these guys that Mike preaches. Mike never gets too high and Mike never gets too low. And maybe that's him. Just that's his mentality when he
plays. Ice water in the veins.
When he
plays. Well, ice water.
When we lost to Montreal here, I was already talking a crossover. Like, are we? Like, this is embarrassing.
Week one. We're done.
Yeah.
Shut down the show.
Yeah. And it is a week-to-week league. Like, look how bad they were last week. You had every right calling in, Ian, and saying this is the least confident, because this offense was showing nothing. And then today, if this football team plays like this the rest of the way, where they get a confident offense with that defense, they will win the Grey Cup going away. I really believe that.
And we didn't have Charleston.
No.
That was amazing. I do have one more quick question and then one more comment.
Yeah, go ahead.
I want to know from Mike, what was better, the wine or the whiskey?
Oh, I didn't have any. I was driving, so I just had meat.
Oh,
I had
there
meat
we go.
And cheese.
Okay, and then the refereeing. Everybody has mentioned the pass interference. But the first TD looked to me like it was in. You know, I think it was Marshall that was, or was it Marshall that was behind quarterback on the first TD on the sneak, and they said he didn't get in?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I think it was.
I think so.
I don't know why we don't have an overhead view. Doesn't Calgary have that camera that goes back and forth across?
I don't know.
Up in the air?
I don't know who's got what. I don't know if there's uniforms. Some stadiums have cameras, some don't. It's embarrassing.
And why wasn't Mika Johnson flagged for ripping Labatt's helmet off?
Another valid point, yeah.
Once again, don't know why.
Calgary really doesn't like take being punched in the mouth.
They never have. As good as they've been, they never have.
Today it actually hit me that they don't. You know, they came out, Mika Johnson, like when he ripped Labatt's helmet off, and it's like, I'll show you, you blah, blah, blah. And the Riders came right back on the next play, first down. And last thing, last weekend of the year, BC, Calgary, Winnipeg, Edmonton.
Yeah, that's going to be big. It's going to be huge. Eskimos got to win, and they got to get some help now to make the playoffs at 8-9, which is unbelievable to say with the best, quote-unquote, best quarterback in the league. But the schedule makers did it right. They got the Western teams against the Western teams. The games mean something.
And I got to give it to you, Michael.
Yeah.
Sorry. When the guy called in about the media, you know, and then he says, well, it was the people calling in, you didn't let him have it. Like, It isn't. I agree with you completely. The media hasn't said anything about whether he should be doing this, or you know, with regards to Charleston Hughes. I think all you guys have done is just reported what's there.
Well, yeah,
and I give you kudos for that. So yeah. I think that guy was
even when the Riders win, people just are so much nicer to Ballsy.
Yeah, thanks. Appreciate that, Ian.
Ballsy, you're a really great guy. I love the way you report your stuff. I just loved how he said you didn't even get on him. He's like, well, I was listening to another radio station. I'm like, you listen to other radio stations?
Yeah, that's right. Whatever they do. But I'm going to tell you this right now. You know, I think the only thing I wish the Riders would have come out earlier, because it looks kind of reactionary now instead of being proactive, but I'm glad they did something.
Well, I think it was more, I mean, just they ran their own independent investigation and then said, okay, he's going to play. And then less than 24 hours later said he's not. I'm thinking the league probably knocked on the door and said, yeah, I don't like your investigation. He's not playing.
Yeah.
I mean, it just feels weird. You run a 2-day investigation or whatever it was, say he's good to go, and then something comes to light in 12 hours overnight and say, oh, you know what? No, he's not.
So what's the maximum fine under the PA?
Well, it just depends on the league or the team. Like, the coach can't fine someone. It's like $75, but the team can fine someone, and then I think the league, and obviously the league.
So what is a maximum fine? $250?
I think it was, I think it was a thousand, but they can also, I mean, the league could step in and suspend him, and therefore he wouldn't get paid.
So let's say he gets $1,000 and he had to sit out this game. He didn't play. Is he suspended? Like, is he out on his, he doesn't get a game check, right?
He gets a game check still. They basically said they took him off the active roster, would have put on the one game or suspended list, but he still gets a paycheck.
And I don't like that.
I don't like it either.
I think he should be suspended and lose his
money.
So
do I. And I think,
because that doesn't really penalize him. What it does, it gives the Riders, they knew, Ballsy didn't apparently, but the Riders knew they had to win next week's game to get a home playoff game. So they basically gave a 34-year-old guy a rest.
I don't like how it kind of went down either, because they shouldn't be allowed to run their own independent investigation. There's a bit of conflict of interest, because it's in your best interest to have him
15
play.
Sacks,
you know, but I mean, Grant, I think that's where they got to have more of a code of conduct across the league. Like, we always had a code of conduct, but it was words on paper.
I don't like fans, and this is what I don't like about fans. We forget, like, it's all about wins and losses, and be damned the society. Like, give me a break. Like, I don't know how it happened. I don't know that it's still got to run its course.
Yeah.
Okay. But all these people, well, maybe he was in a car with somebody else.
Come on, guys.
Really? He parked his car on the overpass and he thought he couldn't find parking closer to the place where he was having a beverage, and he walked and he apologized. Like, you got to use the word allegedly, but we got to play him.
If it was anybody else, you'd be all over. Yeah. And granted, you know, and I'll give Hughes kudos. He sat in front of the media. He took it. He apologized. He clearly looked remorseful. He's almost in tears. Yeah. He was embarrassed, as he should be.
For sure.
But he took it like a man. I appreciate that because he could have hidden the locker room and he could have just.
He did.
You know, but he took it like a man, but he still has to be accountable for his actions.
And that's the thing. Like, it's like, you know, Jerome Messam's thing, it had to do with a woman. In the offseason, it was Justin Cox. It had to do with a woman. Yeah. And anything that has to do with women.
You're done.
I despise it, and that's pathetic.
Sorry.
But drinking and driving affects everybody.
It does.
It doesn't just affect women. So to slough it off and say, well, it's about wins. No. How many kids, how many families have been killed by drunken driving? Thank God nobody was hurt, including Charleston Hughes.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Is thank God no one's hurt. But at the same time, let's not, you know, just kick him at the door and think he's a horrible human.
And he shouldn't
He made a mistake. But once again, now the leash is shorter. Like, if something should happen again, you got to go.
But a message really isn't sent when he doesn't get suspended.
He still gets a paycheck. So, I mean, it's weird because when I was inside the locker room, we had a lot of that kind of stuff, and it didn't really faze you.
Does it affect the locker room?
Oh, God, no. It doesn't affect the locker room at all. It almost takes pressure off because now they're not talking. They weren't talking about 31-0 loss. They were talking about Charleston Hughes. How many of these guys were getting questions about the beating they took in Winnipeg? Because after Charleston came out, it was all about Charleston this, Charleston that.
Yeah. So. Let me ask you this. Weed is legalized, and I know you've partaken.
Who, me? Yeah, right. Okay.
I'm just bugging you. But do you think that's going to have some ramifications?
I don't think so, because, I mean, from what I hear,
guys have done it
a lot
before.
Of guys have partaken anyways.
Yeah,
I mean, it's the guys have been doing it for decades, and no, it doesn't change anything. But it's the same if you – it's not – guys aren't going to smoke a little bit and now smoke a ton and come in high as a kite and not be able to function.
Their jobs are on
the
line.
It's their job. It's the same as if a guy came in and had 30 beer. I mean,
yeah.
It's not going to affect the locker room. It's just, I think guys will just be like talking about it more openly than they did before.
Let's go to Herb in Regina. Go ahead, Herb. You're on the A&W Sports Cage Radio Roundtable.
Hi.
Hey, Herb.
Well, just to start with, I have to say I told you so, that last week's game against Winnipeg was our reset game,
mm-hmm.
because now we've reset and we're back to where we should be. I thought it was probably the best balanced win of the year. And I'm kind of curious as to where these fans are that called in last week. I think there were at least two that said we won't win another game this year.
Oh, two. Maybe.
There
was a lot more than two.
I think the question I pose is, playing like this, can we win a Grey Cup? And I think everybody answered correctly. But this team didn't play like they did last week. They actually played well against a good defense. And I'm talking offensively, right?
Yeah. Plus, I got a shout-out to Shaq Evans. I think this guy just keeps getting better and better each week.
Yeah, he's developing. There's no doubt about that. He's making some catches where earlier in the year he was dropping the football for sure, Herb.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, Herb, you hang on the phone. We got a Suds Car Wash for you, okay?
Oh, sure. Thanks.
Brought to you by Suds Full Service Car Wash. Experience the Suds Car Wash difference. They're Regina's premier full service car wash. When we come back, we'll get more comments from you. Jerry, Kelly, Andrew, Shane, and you can call in 936-6262 in town. Toll free 1-866-767-0620. The Rough Riders 29, the Calgary Stampeders 24. This is the A&W Sports Cage Radio Roundtable on the Saskatchewan Rough Riders Radio Network. With two-time Grey Cup champion Mike McCullough, I'm Michael Ball, and the Saskatchewan Rough Riders celebrating a 29-24 victory over the Calgary Stampeders. Stampeders lose back-to-back games on home turf. They lost back-to-back games last year, but Bo Levi Mitchell now, I got to find his stats here. As a starter, don't knock off Bo Levi Mitchell too much.
He lost twice at home or something.
Yeah, he's 68-14 as a starter. 68-14-2.
But what was he at home?
I don't have his at home.
He said it was like he only had two losses at home in the last.
Just the second time his team has lost two games at home, like in a row, back to like two game losing streak. Lord. Yeah, unreal. Unreal.
Wow.
My only thing is, I'd rather be Calgary in the playoffs than this one. You know, like, can he beat him two times at home turf?
No, like I said, like the last caller said a few minutes ago.
They don't like getting punched in the mouth.
Yeah, Calgary, they walk the walk and talk the talk until it gets down to crunch time, and then they fold.
Yeah. All right, let's go out on the Great Plains Realty hotline. Yes, our hotline brought to you by Great Plains Realty. Mike or Shelley, Jen Austin at Great Plains Realty, buying or selling farmland, call 481-5574. Let's talk to Jerry in Vegas. Go ahead, Jerry.
Hey, guys, it's been a while. I've just been kind of waiting in the weeds, holding my breath. So first off, I want to say I think Mike should come out of retirement for a week because, you know, sign a contract with the Riders.
And get murdered?
Clearly, he's a good luck charm for home playoff games.
Yeah, he is. I like it.
Mike, what do you think about that? Would you come out of retirement?
No, I am too scared. I was scared when I played. I'd be petrified
now. You were scared when you played. No, you were never scared. Come on.
No, a little bit, but no. There's no way on God's green earth I could even last a half.
No, Well, you can run along the sidelines with Rob out there. I mean, he's running along the sidelines.
You saw me when I played. I wasn't that fast, and you add 8 years to it, it's going to be even worse.
Could you play one game if you
had to? I get it, but you're just a good luck charm.
Hanging around. You guys keep being nice to me. I'll hang around as long as possible.
Anyways, Jerry, what did you think of the game tonight?
It was awesome. Obviously, you know, I for reasons I won't go into, I kind of missed last week's game, and obviously, I mean, we sucked.
Yeah.
And you know, like my level of expectation for this game playing in Calgary was not high. I mean, I was hoping we'd come close, but obviously, you know, like I would think that people would think that, you know, we didn't really have a good chance of winning, and so you know, this was awesome. So I'm gonna just make two comments.
Mm-hmm.
Because Zach, you know, came around and impressed me today. I mean, I'm on the edge with him for various reasons. I won't go in. I'll give him a 90-10 today. I mean, he threw that ball to Lavoie that was a walk-in touchdown, and it was like he short-armed it. And it's like you got a Jekyll and Hyde with Zach. But I'm going to buy into him. Okay, I will. But mainly what I want to say is that I'm going to buy into Chris Jones. I did last year. I didn't call in a lot last year either.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm buying into Chris Jones, because if you go from last week to this week, and my point about this is you said earlier that you know, you don't want us to have too much of a rest. I'm not worried about a rest with Chris Jones. I'm really not. You know, if we take top spot in the league, you know, wherever we end up, Chris Jones is going to have his team ready. This is a Chris Jones team, and if people don't understand – then get behind what he's doing, then they don't understand what we have in front of us. This is a Chris Jones team. And, you know, for better or worse, sometimes, you know, the offense isn't clicking, but this is a Chris Jones team. He's got his team ready when you need him to be ready, when you need the team to be ready. And that's what that showed me today, is that we sucked last week, and then we came out and dominated today. I mean, I'm sorry, it was close, but we dominated.
Yeah, it was definitely a big victory. Thanks for the call, Jerry. You got to be moving along. Let's go to Kelly on the Great Plains Realty Hotline, A&W Sports Cage Radio Roundtable. Go ahead, Kelly in Manitou Beach.
Yeah, I just have a couple of comments. Actually, I called in 2 years ago, and this was, I think the Riders were on a major losing streak, and everybody was, you know, saying, at that time, everybody was saying, well, we got to get rid of Chris Jones, got to get rid of Chris Jones. And I called in and I said, well, you know, give the guy a break. He's only been on the team for half a season. It was about half a season thereabouts.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just saying, like, you know, I'm sure that people probably feel differently now. Like, you know, like at that time I said, well, you know, compare it to like the former coaches, you know, they usually give them, you know, 5-6 years with Chris Jones. And they said, well, we want to do a 3-year plan. And I think, like, now I think the fans are probably realizing that, okay, yeah, this is the guy that we want to stick with, and that he will lead us to at least a good shot at the Grey Cup, is my comment.
Yeah, today. Well, he led us to a good shot last year. We were 5 yards away from a Grey Cup in Toronto. But, yeah, definitely, I think an easier route would have a home playoff game for sure. And hopefully they'll nail that down next week against the BC Lions. Thanks for the call, Kelly. It's kind of and this isn't a shot on Kelly,
a roller coaster.
But it is, because like last week it's like, what's he doing and blah blah blah, and then this week it's like he knows what he's doing, and what I
said last week was relax, and what I'd say this week is temper it down. So I mean, we had both extremes. We had the offense we saw last week and the offense we saw this week. I would think we can hope for the offense somewhere in the middle. We're not going to have games like this for the next 3 or 4 weeks, and we're not going to have games like the Winnipeg. If we can have somewhere in the middle, we're still got a good chance
to win. If this team scores 2 touchdowns and gets 2 Brett Lowther field goals, that's 20 points. Yeah. They should win that game.
With our defense, yeah, because the output we had today is the best output we had all season, and it took 17 games. So don't expect that for the next 2, 3, 4 weeks straight. It could happen, but let's you know, hedge our bets here. And nor do I think we're going to have the offense we had against Winnipeg. I think we're going to have somewhere. If we can hope for something in the middle, that gives us enough of a chance to win the game.
Our friend Gary Etcheverry wouldn't agree with me, but
he never agreed with anybody.
Where do you fall in this? I say good players make good coaches. I'm not saying coaches aren't good and they should be undervalued, because you need good coaches. You see what June Jones has done and a few of these guys. But good players make good coaches. Like when guys, you know, today nobody's calling in bitching about McAdoo in the playbook.
Yeah.
Guys are making plays. He had Jordan Williams-Lambert in there, who, by the way, is going to be a beast. He already is.
Williams-Lambert, to me, looks just like Duke Williams of Edmonton.
Yeah, or a Manny Arsenault in his
prime.
He's
bigger than Manny. Yeah. I mean, when he got up after, I think, a first-quarter catch, and you see, like, the arms on the guy.
He's huge.
He looks like he's about 6'7", 280.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a monster.
So this guy, so we don't hear anybody bitching about McAdoo, and we don't hear anybody bitching about Jones, and we don't hear, because Kolaros was throwing the ball.
Yeah.
On point, he had guys blocking for him. The offensive line held up, and he had one of his weapons back in the lineup. And I'll tell you what, you didn't comment on this yet. Cam Marshall,
I was waiting for,
is,
said
a,
in the
is a great
Love
football
him.
Player.
But the thing is, I don't
everything right.
I don't think he'll have him back in the lineup. That's the thing that drives me nuts.
I don't. I think.
And Creston Butler was back.
Yes, he was. He got beat on a touchdown. But
yeah, it happens. But I mean, like having Marshall on that return, the blocking, the runs. I mean,
he's a football player.
He's not fantastic at anything, but he's good at everything.
I'll tell you one play that stands out in my mind. It, once again, after, you know, there was the long I'm watching the Oilers play here.
I know.
there was the long down yardage situation again, and they throw it out to him in the flats at the end of the game, and he dekes out Thurman and Singleton who's not easy to get around, and he gets a first down, and that really sealed the game for the most part.
The thing is, I've loved Marshall since last year, and I just think he is the type of football player that your teammates rally around. He hasn't played all year, I don't think, right?
Yeah, No.
And he comes in a big game, and he had a lot of big plays. Like, you go a few minutes without seeing him, but he didn't get a lot of touches, but the touches he did have were huge.
He's earned the right to next week's game is going to be a mutter game.
But
that's going to be a Tyrell Sutton versus Cameron Marshall versus Trey Mason. Like, it's going to be that.
The only problem is Trey Mason's been solid, and Thigpen is dynamic. So who do you take off? Because I think Mason and Thigpen are somewhat similar, where Marshall's different than both.
Yeah.
Like, when you have linebackers blitzing, I want Marshall next to me as a quarterback. I want him chucking guys around because Mason Thigpen just, I don't think, have that ability to block the way he does.
Yep.
And he just gets those ugly, nasty yards. I saw Wes Cates tonight. He reminds me of Wes Cates.
Yeah, he does.
He doesn't have a 72-yard run, but he has, you know,
a bunch of 40-yard runs.
Well, or even like 8, 9 yards, and you think, oh, well, he didn't have that good of a day. And you look at the stats, he had 18 carries for 110 and a touchdown.
Yeah.
That was Cates.
Yeah.
Cates got those ugly, mean yards with a quick hip shift, and he'd go and be 10, 12 yards, but he wouldn't have many of those 75s like Thigpen has.
Yeah.
But those are the kind of runs that come playoff time are huge, like the 8, 9 yards or even 4 yards when it's 3rd and 3.
Well, I hope he's earned the right to play this next game.
I think having him in there going forward would be huge for this offense.
You know,
I like him a lot.
Luke brought up a good point in the pregame show. I thought he said that a Canadian Canadians don't really step up their game. You know, they step up their game more, I guess, when another Canadian's there to push them. And Josiah St. John's a guy that really, I don't think if he was a first-round pick of Chris Jones, his first ever first-round selection with his team, would still be on this roster. Much maligned, really hasn't been the guy that they thought he was going to be. And now Shepley comes to town, and Shepley saw him in one-on-ones in practice. He was owning it. Like, he looks like he's going to be a keeper if he sticks around. So I'm just saying, before you comment here, now Josiah St. John's got a guy in the locker room pushing him. He already had Bladick pass him on the depth chart. Yeah. This was his time to shine, and you know what? Good on the kid. He stepped up tonight.
Yeah, he did well, but I mean, really, this has been his first opportunity to shine. So, I mean, yeah, it could be either way. Regardless, he looked pretty solid, but I don't think he had many opportunities before this. I mean, in practice, he might have, but this was out of necessity. They had to play St. John, and he looked pretty solid. I mean, that was a reconfigured O-line that was playing a very good D-line, and at the start, it looked a little wobbly, but they got together and looked pretty solid.
Let's go to John on the Great Plains Realty Hotline. John in Saskatoon, go ahead, man.
How's it going?
Good, John. How are you?
I think the key to our victory tonight is where we dominated early, other than that punt return from Calgary. Eh?
Yeah.
We got on Calgary early, and we won the line of scrimmage. The time of possession was this next to none, you know, and which was really the difference in the game.
Yeah, time of possession, keep Bo Levi Mitchell off the field for sure. Absolutely.
Yeah, that's true. But I think by us scoring early and just putting the nose to the grind, I think that other than I said that punt return, we never trailed really after that. And you know, and I was impressed with Kolaros and our receivers. Like, they're catching balls unbelievable catches.
Yeah, it was a heck of a game, John. Thanks for the call, man. We got to be rolling along. Let's go to Andrew in Saskatoon. Go ahead, Andrew. You're on the Great Plains Realty Hotline, the A&W Sports Cage Radio Roundtable.
Well, I was really impressed with some of the new guys. Who's this Cannon guy? I've never seen him on the field before.
KD Cannon was in the roster of the last home game, number 20, and he's out of, I believe it's
Baylor
receiver, yeah, and he had a couple big plays for sure.
He's got some real speed. I really liked seeing him catch the ball and fly around out there.
Yeah, for sure.
And this Patrick Lavoie,
yeah,
5 catches.
Yeah.
Helped a lot, and I think you guys are being a bit hard on St. John. I thought he was fantastic, and he hasn't really had chances between his quote-unquote injuries and other problems. It's disappointing. We've had him almost 3 years as a first pick in the draft, and hasn't really shown us anything yet. But
well, I don't think we were hard on him. The guy's been here, first overall selection, and really hasn't had a chance. Like, when you're passed by a guy who was picked lower than you a couple years after you in Bladick, and they trade for Phillip Blake, and he's here 2 days and he's starting ahead of you, I don't think the media can be blamed for being too hard on the guy. He hasn't had chances, you're right. And he stepped up. I thought today he looked a little out of sorts at the start, but Calgary likes to do a lot of twisting and stuff up front with Micah Johnson, but he caught on and had a good game. He's part of a good offensive line.
It's only been
today.
One game, too, so let's not get too far in either direction.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely.
Well, good on Brendan Labatt. I think he made the two guards look a lot better than they would have been with just an average guy in the middle.
Yeah, for sure, man. Hey, Andrew, you're going to hang on the phone there, and we're going to give you a gift card to Taco Del Mar, okay?
Fantastic.
That's a very good take there. Brought to you by Taco Del Mar. Now with catering to freshen up any party, get coastal Mexican cuisine from Taco Del Mar, Rochdale, and Eastgate. Yeah, I thought, you know, we talk about acquisitions and things like that. To get Phillip Blake and Patrick Lavoie from a downtrodden Montreal team, a guy with veteran experience in the offensive line, and then Lavoie, that's a big trade for the Riders, especially comes timely. You didn't know it was going to happen, but we were talking about them walking the fine line with the offensive line. Bladick goes down, and all sudden this guy steps in and really helps a decimated offensive line.
Yeah, it was a good trade. You know, it really took care of some of our issues and gave us some more Canadian depth. And yeah, Lavoie's been around for a while, and he's a solid football player, so it's nice just to have a guy like that, you know, special teams, offense, and yeah, he's been good for a while.
Good. He's not one of those H-back guys. He's not really a true slot back. He can play tight end, and he had a couple nice blocks on the line there,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, and like you said, he's kind of in the short game, and even still, like, you know, he's fairly new, and you saw a couple times where him and Kyron Moore were basically running the routes basically 2 feet from each other, so there's still, you know, things that were going wrong for us the week before were going wrong but working out for us this week.
Yeah.
And Kyron Moore had a nice bounce-back game.
Yes, he did.
He struggled mightily Winnipeg and had some big catches this week, so good on him for doing that.
Well, as Chris Jones said this week, we see rookies hit the wall and have their rookie mistakes, but he did respond for sure.
Yeah, that's why, that 31-0 game, you can't jump on guys too much. These guys are still young, and like I said, going forward, I don't expect us to have these kind of offensive outputs going forward, but it's nice to have it and give some guys some confidence so when things maybe falter a little bit, and then they can kind of look back and know that it is possible to do what they want to do.
Is there really a wall these young guys hit when they, you know, in college they only play a certain amount of games? Like, they're already into, I know Kyron hasn't dressed for every game, but they, you know, they get that mental fatigue, they get that wear on their body, right? You got to learn to be a pro, right?
Yeah, especially in the Canadian guys coming from an 8-game season. You know, yeah. I remember my first year, you know, when you hit week 9 and 10, you're already past what you ever played, and you're only at the halfway point. You just start thinking, man, like, this is a lot. I mean, it's still exciting and fun, but you don't realize what a grind it is. So a lot of these Canadian guys, too, these young guys, they can struggle, especially the O-line guys, too.
Yeah.
You're talking about 18 games with preseason playoffs, you're looking at most 23 games. That's a lot. That's almost three full seasons of U-sport football for some of these Canadian guys.
Chris always talks about, well, guys are hitting the weights in the weight room, dedicated there. Talk about the weight room. Talk about the importance on the weight room during the season and how important that lifting is. Because we don't talk about that enough.
It's vital, but, I mean, a lot of times the young guys coming in don't do that. They fall off after 6-7 weeks, so you really got to kind of show them how to do it. I mean,
is that the guys in the locker room that keep other guys to task for that?
I mean, essentially, yeah, because if you see guys like, you know, the veterans working out, if you're in your group and there's 10 of you and 6 of them are veterans and they're working out and you're going home to play video games, something should click. You know, eventually some guys will make comments or tell you once, oh, you know, I'm tired. If you want to stay in the league, you got to do what those guys are doing if they're 8, 9, 10 year guys. So I mean, when you're in the gym, you're not trying to set personal best. You're just trying to get the blood flowing. You're there for 45 minutes, get a sweat on, go home. You're not there for an hour and a half or 2 hours like you were in the office.
You're not doing clean and jerks.
No, you're not doing all that Olympically. You're just trying to get the blood flowing, get a sweat on, work out some of the rust. But these young guys, they got to pick up on that quick. If not, your body's going to break down pretty quick.
Let's go to Shane. I'll take one more call here on the A&W Sports Cage Radio Roundtable. One more call for this segment, that is. Go ahead, Shane.
Hello there, gentlemen.
Hey, Shane, go ahead, man.
Hi, First of all, it was a full team effort.
Mm-hmm.
And I have the stars of the game.
Okay, who are they?
Cam Marshall.
Yep.
And Mike Edom.
Yep, Mike Edom is how he pronounces it now.
I was wondering that.
I don't know.
I don't know either.
He did actually a liner for Sports Cage for Rod, and he called himself Mike Edom. And the next game, he's telling everybody they're pronouncing it wrong. It's Mike Edom, but he said Mike Edom, so I don't know.
I call him Edom because that's what I was
Anyway, he was eating him Rod today for sure.
He played a nice game.
Nice pick in the end zone.
Yeah, Shane, hang on the phone there. We've got a prize pack for you from Weiser's, okay? Saskatchewan's number one Canadian whiskey, proud partner of the Rough Riders. Thanks for the call. We appreciate it. Yeah, that was a turning point. That was a TSN turning point. That interception in the back of the end zone on Eric Rogers, who's bounced back nicely from his knee injury. That was a great fight for the ball there.
It was, and you know, I'm thinking more leaning towards that hit at the end of the game. They called it, but that was a big time hit. I mean, if that receiver had caught that ball, I don't know if it would have been called. But it, you know, just kind of lay in the lumber, and it's back. It's got the 15 yarder, but they withstood that penalty. Mm-hmm. And I mean, like I said, this group of defenders, they are a group of bad dudes, man. Like, I'm telling you, offensive players, offensive coaches are worried about these guys. Like, they are mean, nasty, fast. Like, it's
athletic.
It's just, yeah.
They're
like,
fun
I'm
to
thinking
watch.
Back to some of the defense we had. We had some great defenses, but I hate to say it. I don't know, man. From top to bottom, these guys are nasty.
We're going to take a break. Rough Riders with a nasty victory in Calgary tonight, 29-24, one step closer to a home playoff game here at Mosaic Stadium. You're listening to the A&W Sports Cage Radio Roundtable on the Rough Riders Radio Network. And welcome back to the A&W Sports Cage Radio Roundtable here on our Rough Rider Radio Network. We're here with Mike McCullough. I'm Michael Ball, taking your calls at 936-6262 in town. Toll free out of town, 1-866-767-0620. We're going to talk about a bunch of things around the league. I want to talk about this game next week. It is going to be a beautiful football game. And Wally Bono is an arrogant dude. He is. I've called him a fathead, but the guy is the all-time winningest coach,
yep.
And the guy's done an unbelievable job in this league. And to be honest with you, it's his last year.
Is it?
Yeah. Well, it's supposed
I feel
to
like
be,
this is the fourth.
It's supposed to
guy.
Be his last year. It's like the Rolling Stones; they never go away. But I will say this: I'm happy if this is his last year that he does go out in the playoffs. I really am.
Yeah, I guess. I'm indifferent. I don't know. It's just, yeah, it's good. I mean, he's one of the greatest, if not the greatest coach of all time, but I don't know. I think it's something to think about later after the season's over.
Yeah, I'm not.
I hate the other team, so it's like, eh.
Okay.
Worry about him later.
Okay, but you like other players. It's great to see Travis Lule and excelling like that.
Totally. Lule, you respect those guys. Like Lule and Riley's struggling, but seeing Lule go is just, it's awesome. It really is awesome to see. Because now that I'm out of the league and I can actually cheer for some of those other guys, even when I was playing, there's just certain guys you held at another level, and he was one of them, like Ricky Ray, those guys. Even though you wanted to beat them, you respected the heck out of them. And I know that as a league, like most of the players really like Lule and respect him.
I really feel bad for Mike Riley because he's having an unbelievable season and he's a gamer. But if they miss the playoffs, we're going to at least be rid of that clown show, Jason
Moss. I would think
so. I hope so.
Would get fired. I mean, just the way he acts.
He's a clown show.
Yeah, you can't call out your all-pro quarterback and when things don't go right. I mean, it's, I don't know, just bad coaching across the board.
Yeah, so if you're at a handicap, BC's in. Edmonton or Winnipeg, who's getting in?
I'm going to have to go with Winnipeg.
Yeah.
They're just, I mean, yeah.
And who's playing the Riders here in the semifinal? I think the Riders will finish second. So
I think Winnipeg.
Winnipeg will play.
I think Winnipeg, yeah. Yeah, I think BC will do the crossover.
And that we could one of these times this crossover team.
Yeah,
gonna get
but we also haven't talked about Ottawa. Ottawa's since Ottawa won here, they've been pretty hot.
Yeah,
I mean they've been a solid team. Granted, they're not going through the rugged West like the rest of the Western teams, but they're looking pretty good.
Rallied from 16 down to beat the Hamilton Tigers.
Yeah, I mean Ottawa just is one of those teams where you just never know. I don't
problem
know.
Is with Trevor Harris, you never know what Harris you're gonna get.
Yeah, like I said, I know you're not big. I
know you've always liked him.
I think he's got like a lot of potential. I think he's kind of fulfilling it now. There's just something about him where, yeah, he could throw for 420 yards and six touchdowns in a game. I don't know. I think he's very talented.
The BC Lions are a team that I don't know that I'd want to play them in the playoffs.
I'm not sold on them yet. I'm more concerned about Winnipeg. I am.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
Let's go out on the Great Plains Realty Hotline. Say hi to Willie in Saskatoon. He wants to talk about Charleston Hughes. Go ahead, Willie.
Hey, guys. Just want to say awesome game. Calgary always chokes near the end of the season, but... in the collective agreement, if you take a peek, it's the maximum fine, which is what he was assessed, is one half of the of a regular season earnings, like one game.
Oh, okay.
So I'm assuming that's more than $1,000.
Yeah, for him it would be for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. So it definitely should hurt a bit more than just a tiny little sting.
But has he been fined officially yet? I just heard he was put on IR.
Well, he was getting the maximum fine.
Yes, okay.
But I would have loved to have seen him get the maximum fine plus lose a game check. I really
to
sting him.
Yeah.
Like it's got a sting. But hey, hopefully we can move on and the legal process is going to play itself out.
Yeah, exactly.
Got anything else, Willie?
No, that's all.
Okay, thanks. I appreciate that. Yeah, it's hard to believe. Back to the Eskimos. It's hard to believe the Edmonton Eskimos probably are going to miss the playoffs.
Yeah, because at one point, weren't they?
They were second place. We're talking about them as
they
being
lost six in a row.
Yeah, like
seven,
six,
in a row?
Seven of their last nine or something like that. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, that's. I mean, granted, I guess they're not overly talented across the board, but when you got Riley, you always got a chance.
But I mean, look at the team. I know they have some injuries. Darrell Walker's out.
Yeah, yeah.
But they got Duke Williams. They've got CJ Gable. They got Mike Riley. They got a pretty good offensive
decent
line. Man. They got
decent defense.
Sewell and Sherritt.
Yeah. Back I don't know what's going on there. It's just sometimes, something just doesn't equate, and I don't know.
This West too. The Riders are 11-6 and don't have a home playoff game nailed down. Now you guys were 11-7 in 2003.
Yep.
And you went to Winnipeg and won, and then lost to Edmonton, right?
Yes, and in the West.
Was that your? Was that your? Yeah. What happened on that? No, I'm not
talk about it.
What happened on that play? I forget that.
Kevin Glenn came in at halftime. We're down 21.
Yeah, he came back and rallied you guys.
Yeah, rallied us. It was 28-20 with I think a couple minutes left. If that, we got an onside kick, and I hit the returner, which caused them not to get it, and we recovered it. But it was a penalty on me. They said interference with the returner, which I didn't even know was a call that existed, and nor did our coaches. And then they got the ball back and basically won the game.
That was when we were hosting the home playoff game.
Yes,
here.
It was. Our Thank you, Ballsy, for bringing that up.
Thanks, Mike. Yeah,
you want to run over my cat, too, with your car just to insult injury? Or I don't have a cat. But
anyways, let's go to Carlene and Moose Jaw. Go ahead, Carlene. You're on the A&W Sports Cage Radio Roundtable. Carlene, Mike. Are you there?
Mike.
Which one?
I miss you.
She misses you, Mike.
Me, McCullough, or Ballsy?
Mike McCullough.
Oh, that's what I figured. Who misses Ballsy?
Yeah, no kidding.
No, I know it's Ballsy, but Mike McCullough, you know who I am.
Yes.
Yes. Okay, I have your bobblehead.
I think there's a lot of people out there that have my bobblehead, and they are pretty excited about it.
Yeah, I am too.
I'm hearing it's quite a good likeness.
Yeah, it is. Anyways, what do you got there, Carlene?
Not really. But anyways...
Yeah, what do you got?
Today was like night and day with the offense. And I think that O-line went out there and did what they have to do. I don't know what happened. I don't know if Labatt just said this is it. I don't know what happened, but that O-line was awesome.
Yeah, they played a much better game for sure against a really good defense, Carlene. Absolutely. Got anything else?
Whose jersey should I buy?
Well, you've asked me that before. Whose jersey do you have?
Well, I have all offensive jerseys.
Well,
so
defense.
When I buy
how many jerseys do you have?
15.
Holy.
And when I buy them,
jeez,
they all get traded.
Well, who do you want gone? Who do you want gone?
Who do you want gone? Buy their jersey.
Who do I want gone?
Yeah, which?
And you can't say Chris Jones.
Yeah, don't say Chris Jones.
What? I don't want anyone gone, but I want to buy a defensive jersey.
Okay, well, then,
after 33 years, I think I'm going defense.
Go Aguavin.
Aguavin or Willie Jefferson?
Oh,
Willie's not going anywhere. And Aguavin.
What about Purifoy or...
who knows in the back end?
Here's the problem. Hold on, Carlene. So when's the player agreement going to be done? Like, when would it be hammered out?
Well, I don't know, because they have up until, I think, the beginning of training camp.
I would wait, Carlene, till June to buy your jersey.
Oh, my God.
Well, no. No, listen. Well, you got 15 of them. It's not like you can't. No, but because check this out. The Riders, about 75% of the Riders roster are free agents after this year. And that's like most of the league because everybody was waiting on this CBA to be signed.
Yeah.
So there's no point in buying a jersey because somebody could be signed. Most of the team could be signed away as free agents after this year.
I think you just got to get a jersey with no number and add it later.
Yeah, why don't you put Carlene 1 on the back?
Oh, yeah.
Right? Golden. You're not going anywhere, right, Carlene?
No, I'm not. After three years, I'm not going anywhere.
Carlene, I thought maybe you fell asleep on us there.
Should I put my maiden name, Belfay, on the back?
Well, I think Mark at the Rider Store. I think Mark at the Rider Store charges you by the letter. Yeah, so yeah, go with Belfay.
Yeah, go with Belfay.
Anyway, thanks for the call.
Belfay.
Yeah, thanks for the call. Are you still married or what?
No, my husband passed
away.
Oh,
okay. Well, sorry about that. Well, why would you want to put your? Don't you want to keep the married name?
Yeah.
What was your married name?
Campbell.
Oh, go with Campbell. That's easier because you'll have a bunch of people going Bill. They won't be able to. Pronounce
or they'll say Campbell. You're like, yeah, Hugh Campbell.
No, and here's something. Don't put Belfay on the back of the jersey.
Marcel.
He goes down as one of the worst offensive coordinators in Rider history. Don't do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but my brother played with the Riders.
What's your brother's name?
Richard Belfay.
Oh, when was that?
Roger Aldake was a hired hand for my dad.
Wow, as is tied in. It's a big family affair here with Carlene. Carlene,
it is.
Thanks for listening to the show.
Take care, Carlene.
Take care. Take care. And of course, talking bobbleheads. I had Sheets on the pregame show, and where are they now? Yeah, and he had his bobbleheads. So, funny story about you and your bobblehead.
Oh Lord!
For about four practices in a row. Hurl come up to me and he said, "You got that bobblehead?
I gotta get him one.
I had a bobblehead. He said he got a bobblehead.
Oh, I did give him one. Yeah,
he said you gave him a bobblehead because I had been waiting for him.
Yeah,
it's funny in my bedroom I have a Plaza of Honor football
yes
in a case and on top of it I have the Mike McCullough bobblehead.
That just
right at the foot of my bed.
It just kind of goes to how pathetic your life might be. You've got a Mike McCullough bobblehead in your bedroom.
That is a show
as a grown man.
My pathetic life goes. That's a show for another time, my friend. We're gonna take a break and be back with more of the AW Sports Cage Radio Roundtable on the Rough Riders Radio Network. '29-24, your Rough Riders beat the Calgary Stampeders as they inch closer to another home playoff game. They are now 11-6 on the season. The Calgary Stampeders dropped to 12-4. They've got two games left. Just have to win one more to get that Western final in Calgary. I wouldn't want the Riders to have the Western final because they got the last week off. I don't know, Mike. I know it's happened before, and they did a great job. The Eskimos did in 2015. Jones knew how to handle it, and they had the same scenario. But I don't know. Having 2 weeks off in a row in the playoffs, that just stalls your momentum.
I don't like it with a young team like this either. It's too dangerous. I just feel like you got to have more of a veteran team to handle that kind of thing. Yeah, that's a three-week lull between meaningful games. I think it's too much.
So back to Mike Riley for a second. Where do you think he ends up as a free agent? Do you think he goes to BC with
Ed
Hervey?
No, I think he stays in Edmonton.
And Moss leaves?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. I mean, maybe there is a good relationship, but I just feel like Moss is just too volatile. He's too erratic. He has to learn from this experience, maybe go back to being an OC or something. He's just too crazy.
Think Corey Chamberlain gets another chance at a head coaching job in this league?
I think if he wanted to, possibly.
Like, he's down in Arkansas now.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on there. I mean, I think I think he might have learned some things from his previous stint as what not to do. And, like, I always felt he had good potential to be a really good
coach. Defense, I think, really misses him in Toronto this year.
Yeah, but I think it's more of the Ricky Ray effect.
Yeah.
I think, you know, losing that guy, it's just, you can see the whole team is just.
And we're hearing that there's a lot of talk that Pop and Trestman could be out after this year in Montreal, in Toronto.
Why? I mean, both? Why both? I mean, maybe if they're at odds. But we heard about this year for years in Montreal that they butted heads, but they had tons of success.
Yeah.
I mean, one bad year, you lose your star CFL Hall of Fame quarterback, yet no one's going to really recover from that. So you're going to get rid of both those guys, Toronto, then basically you can just sayonara the next 8 years of your franchise.
Yeah, and basically.
If Trestman can't do it, nobody can.
Yeah. All right, let's get back on the Great Plains Realty Hotline and say hi to John in Salt Spring Island, BC. Go ahead, John.
Yeah, how are you? Hi, guys.
Good, John. John, where the heck is Salt Spring Island?
Between Victoria and Vancouver.
Okay.
It's an island just a little bit northeast of Victoria.
Well, how many people live there? Just you, John, or?
about 5,000 people. Actually, I'm just visiting. Wow. One of my kids lives out here. I'm just out visiting.
Oh, what's your kid do there?
Oh, she works in solar energy.
Oh, wow. Sounds like a highfalutin job and a very nice place. I've never been to Victoria. Have you?
No, I haven't.
I'd love to go to Victoria. That's a beautiful place.
If you get to Victoria, you make sure you come out to Salt Spring. You'll absolutely love it. It's a wonderful, wonderful community.
Okay, John, so what do you got to say about our offense tonight?
Well, it was nice to have them back in action after that game last week.
Yeah, no kidding. I
mean, that was kind of embarrassing last week.
Yeah.
But I was really proud of them. They really fought back, and they did a great job. And it was nice to see Zach back on track.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. And Mike McCullough here, of course, too, John. Mike and I thought you know, he was closer to the 2014-2015 Zach Collaros, right?
Yeah, I think.
I agree.
I think the commentators actually said back on track, too, and then he said, well, maybe just on track. Because basically implying that he hasn't been on track all year. Yeah.
But John, if he plays like this, if he plays at this level and they can move the ball like this, I don't think a team will beat the Rough Riders.
Oh, I agree. There's no question. I mean, with our defense, I mean, you can't complain at all about the defense this year. And, yeah, I don't think anyone can stop us as long as the offense, Zach is doing great like tonight. Because, they get about just under 500 yards, I think, on the offense.
490, yeah. 490. Yeah, for
490.
Sure.
I mean, when has that happened this year?
It doesn't happen very much. Do you go to the games, John? Like, are you from Saskatchewan?
Yeah, you go to the
games?
Yeah, well, I live over in Moose Jaw. Oh,
okay.
And, yeah, we my son and I, we have four season tickets.
So you'll be at the game next week here?
Oh, wouldn't miss it for anything.
Yeah, it's going to have a playoff-like atmosphere for sure, John. Hey, anything else quickly?
Nope, that's perfect. Thanks for taking my call, and I really love your show. Keep up the amazing work, guys.
Thanks a lot, John. We appreciate it.
He's talking to me, Ballsy.
Yeah, thanks for a change, guys. They like me. in terms of, it was on the tip of my tongue there.
Oh, no.
What the heck was it? It slipped my mind.
Something.
If the Rough Riders can, it's a thing with consistency, though. If they could just, you know, we came into this game. I talked to Darren. He said, defense has to score. Luke Molitor says they got to get 10 points. Well, the defense didn't score today. And we hear this. Well, as long as they get 200 yards and don't screw it up. I think you have to do a little more than 200 yards and don't screw it up.
Yeah.
But if you can get a 250-yard passing game from Zach Collaros, you can get a couple of big plays and you know, like I said, two touchdowns and a field goal, you got a chance to win every game with this defense.
Oh, for sure. And like I said, I don't expect to see this kind of outpouring of offense the rest of the year. I just think it's if we can get somewhere in the middle of the last 2 weeks, and I think, yeah, we definitely have a good enough team to win.
My big concern, one of my concerns is we've had some returns with Dickey special teams that we've given up three or four kick punt returns this year.
That's really surprising with Dickinson's unit. I know that just keeps him up at night. So maybe it's just too much turnover on special teams too, because what people forget is when you take guys in and out of the starting lineup, it usually affects special teams, and if you don't have consistency there and guys are just for the first time trying punt cover, you're going to have some lane issues and some assignment issues. So I know that really bugs Dickey.
He drives him.
Like, even though they won this game, that's going to keep Dickey up all week.
Yeah, for sure. He's a stickler that way. Okay, we're going to go to break. But before we do, we got our moment of the game, the Rusty Shovel Landscape Shop moment of the game. Experts in landscape design, supply and support. Start your project at therustyshovel.ca. And this is a play. Mike Edom had an interception. He had a couple of big knockdowns. But to me, this was his play of the game that really goes untalked about. But check this out.
Mitchell takes the snap, looks right, guns it to the goal line, and it is caught for two. Markeith ambles, but it is very close.
Yeah.
The signal is that he was across.
Coach Jones is going to be looking at this immediately. And I'm not sure he had control. You've got to have control for this to count, and Markeith Ambles did not have control of this football, and I think that Chris Jones needs to hurry up and throw this flag in the challenge, because again, it's all about control. Unless Coach Jones, you know, wants to save his flag for something more important, but again, you've got to have control, and Markeith Ambles does not.
He's not in.
He's
nope.
Not in when it comes to the replay here.
He'd better hurry.
Chris Jones is sitting here looking at the referees saying, you know, why do we have to waste a flag on this?
He shouldn't, because it's a scoring play.
Yeah, that's exactly it. I thought that was a heck of a play by Mike Edom on the tackle right at the goal line there to keep the receiver out. And what is the ref smoking? That wasn't even close to being in.
Yeah, I don't know. It's like we were talking about the refereeing again. It was just off today. But hey, we won, so who cares? And Pruhl wasn't there. So.
But that was a great. I mean, you talked about a couple weeks ago on the open field tackle by Nick Marshall.
Yeah.
That was a great tackle by Mike Edom in the open field.
Yeah, he had a heck of a game. I mean, he's really kind of taken that free safety spot. I know Brulette. I don't know. I think Brulette might have been hurt.
Yeah,
I'm not sure.
Yeah, he's been hurt.
We've kind of had rotation. Hecht, Brulette himself. Some American guys. Yeah. Francis.
Yeah.
But the last, I'd say probably 10 games or so, Edom's kind of made it his own, and that's his spot now. He's done a really nice job.
Big interception, some big hits, and, of course, that big play at the goal line, which really kept the 29-24. If the Stamps score there, it's 29-26, and then they're not Hail Marying it at the end. Maybe they can get a field goal range with the parodies to tie the game.
Yeah,
so.
But Bo Levis still threw that thing a mile.
Didn't
he? Got down like the 4-yard line. Remember Ganey a couple weeks ago? I was getting a little nervous there.
Yeah, for sure. When we come back, we'll wrap things up. The Saskatchewan Rough Riders with a 29-24 victory over the Calgary Stampeders. This is the A&W Sports Cage Radio Roundtable on the Rough Riders Radio Network. Saskatchewan 29, Calgary 24, and the Rough Riders improved to 11-6 on the season. The Stamps dropped to 12-4. The Riders have one more game left, and that comes to you next week against the British Columbia Lions here on Saturday night, and it's going to be a good one because the Lions can still catch the Rough Riders if they win this game this week coming up against Saskatchewan and then knock off Calgary, and they beat us by 4 points. The Lions would have second place, and the Riders would finish third and go to BC for a playoff game. Otherwise, the Riders have a home playoff game, and you know what? Things are looking pretty good for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders here. Mike McCullough, just some closing thoughts from you.
Kind of like I said earlier in the broadcast, let's not get too high, let's not get too low. We got a great team. We got 11 wins. We can win. We can win a great cup with our defense, and our offense is looking better than it did the previous week, but like I said, don't expect almost 400 yards almost 500 yards of offense every game. I think you just got to try to find the happy medium. And this is kind of offense that I think in a couple of years, if they can maintain the same structure and same players and some consistency, they could be a deadly offense.
Yeah, and I think like we talked about, you just have to put together a competent game plan, and execution was key. And getting Jordan Williams-Lambert back was huge. He made some big plays for this football team.
He's just a monster. He's like a tight end out there.
Yeah, he is.
I mean, he really is. He's freaky as hell. Like, I can't imagine being a 5'10" DB trying to cover that dude.
Yeah,
like, he's a monster.
This is the kind of, I can even sense a little excitement in your voice. This is why you play, right?
October, November football, there's nothing better when it's getting kind of cold out and you can see guys' breath, and it's just, I don't know, even when I was playing, I just remembered, like, everything just seemed, the colors seemed brighter. It's just, it's exciting. This is what I miss. I retired. I'm happy. I love it, but I don't usually miss. I don't miss the game at all. But when it gets to this time of year in the playoffs, it's the one time I have some.
Are you pretty good? Did you leave the game pretty good? Like, Bestie had to get both his hips done. I know he had a few concussions, but did you leave the game pretty good?
Yeah, like, knocking wood. I've been pretty. Just a couple of herniated, like, or bulging discs. But I mean, that's nothing compared to what some of these guys have. I was very lucky. You know, like I said, I've made a lot of business decisions over the years.
Could you play? Could you play one game?
Nope. There's no way. Mentally, it's mental. Like, a lot of it's mental. Like, I couldn't imagine being on defense and trying to tackle a guy like Williams-Lambert coming on a dig route and having to hit him as hard as I can. I feel like I would just take a knee. Like,
do you think Mike McCullough would be able to play in today's CFL, like, in your prime?
I would have had to change my pass coverage technique immensely.
In what way? Because you grabbed the
ball? Well, no, I didn't grab, but you were basically taught, and I was very good at getting in guys' way, you know, walling them off, you know, getting body into body. That's what you're allowed to do.
Yeah.
And that doesn't work nowadays. So I would have had to work on many things. But if I got drafted in 2015, I probably would have been in the league by now.
Well, it's funny, though, and it's funny, too. It seems like back when you played, they stayed with guys longer. Do you know what I mean? Like, guys' tenure was longer. Like, you were good. You degrade.
I was okay.
You degrade yourself. Which,
I was
jokingly,
okay.
No, you were good.
But I was okay.
You were good. But, I mean, they probably don't keep a Mike McCullough 11 years, right?
And they don't. And Jones,
and Neil Hughes 11 years.
Jones wouldn't have kept me around at all because I wouldn't have dealt well with some of the things he's done.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I would have been his first
vocal guy.
Oh, he would have been gone. I would have been gone. Within his hiring, he would have signed his contract and said, by the way, get rid of 45. He's gone. Yep, he gone.
Anyway, Mike, we thank you for this. We appreciate it. And when we come back, we'll wrap things up. Have yourself a good night.
And you too, sir.
Thank you. And thanks for coming to save the show.
Hey, I came all dressed
you
up.
You look good, too. I didn't even mention the tie.
I know. I was waiting for a compliment.
I was dressed up, too. I went to a client's night over at the AGT.
You got some dress jeans on. I see you.
Dress jeans, yeah.
I see a big boy
bit close.
Yeah,
okay.
Not bad. I clean up okay. I don't know how to tie a tie. That's why I don't wear one.
I know. It's just, come on, man. You're an adult male. Know how to tie a tie. You're the guy that ties like your shoelaces and just lets it hang on.
That's right. Actually, it's funny you say that.
I've seen you in the tie.
When I tie a tie, I leave the tie tied for 14 years.
I know. I had to tie Waldo's about a few months ago, and he's going to leave it.
And how does that guy dress up so nice, and he doesn't know how to tie a tie?
Because the guy is fashionista, and he can't tie a tie.
His in-laws are listening now. You have a pathetic son-in-law. I just want to say that
right now. Wow, I wouldn't have gone that far. I mean, he's a great guy. He just can't tie a tie. But Paul, you got personal.
That's what I mean.
Oh, wow.
I love Paul. Anyway, take care, buddy. Appreciate it. When we come back, we'll wrap up the A&W Sports Cage Radio Roundtable on the Rough Riders Radio Network. Oh, boy. Riders had a good night. I didn't. I said we had a home playoff game, which we don't, although if we beat BC, we do. And I said that Edom made the tackle. I went with what the guy said in the broadcast, but I guess people are all over me tonight, including Kelly Bruce, who said he just watched it again, and it was Ed Gainey that made the tackle on that play for our play of the game brought to you by the Rusty Shovel Landscape Shop. Either way, I think Ed Gainey's played well, too, down the backstretch. I didn't think he was up to Ed Gainey-like standards earlier this season, but Ed Gainey has come up big for the Rough Riders. Anyways, that was a big tackle. Whoever made it, it was the play of the game, I thought, because it kept it 29-24 instead of 29-26. But yes, the Saskatchewan Rough Riders have at least clinched a Western playoff game, so they don't have to cross over like they did last year. That saves on the travel and all of those shenanigans. So they'll stay out west, and if they beat the BC Lions here next Saturday, they'll have a home playoff game. Still an outside shot at the West Final, but I think the best route is to have that home playoff game here, two versus three game, and then go to Calgary for the West Final. As one of our callers pointed out, Calgary doesn't like to be punched in the mouth. I'd like to thank a bunch of people here before we go off the broadcast. I want to thank Taylor Shire for joining us on the pregame show for the Rough Rider Game Day show from Global Sports, as he came in and helped me out on the pregame show. I want to thank Mike McCullough for his work on our postgame show here, as he's on his way home to his lovely family, dressed up in his tie, all business-like, all financial planner-like. Wanted to thank our guests in the pregame show, Chris Jones, Corey Sheets, Dakota Shepley, along with Paul Waldo, Luke Molliner, Darian Durant, for their work on our pregame show. Also wanted to thank our operator for the game, Jake Neufeld, our operator for this postgame show here at 620 CKRM. That would be Nevin Chamney. Wanted to thank all the operators and producers across the Rough Riders Radio Network for getting the broadcast out. Wanted to thank Luke Molliner and Rod Peterson for their work in the broadcast booth. Yes, our network affiliates, GX94 in Yorkton, 96.3 Cruise FM in Saskatoon. Wanted to thank 900 CKBI Prince Albert for being part of the Rough Rider Radio Network. Thanks going out to CJNB 1050 on your radio dial. That's in North Battleford. And also 102.3 FM CJNS in Meadow Lake. And our flagship station for Saskatchewan Rough Riders football, as it's been for years and many more years to come, 620 CKRM. Our final score once again from Calgary at McMahon Stadium, the Saskatchewan Rough Riders 29, the Calgary Stampeders 24. And next Saturday, it's the Riders and the Lions, a playoff-like game at Mosaic Stadium. Should be a sellout and should be a dandy. For everybody involved, I'm Michael Ball saying so long, and we'll talk to you next weekend.